Welcome back to the Adventures Away podcast, a salute to all things travel, but mostly Disney. I am your host, Daniel. With me, as always, is my host, co-host, slash husband, Brian.
Today, we'll focus on the not Disney part.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Like, we say, like, salute to all things travel, but mostly Disney, because we like to do other travel other than Disney, and today we're going to talk about some of that other travel.
We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm excited. How are you this week, today, weekend?
Just spiffy.
I've had a very nice weekend.
Fall has become us.
Yeah.
Here in North Carolina.
Yeah, I didn't work at all this weekend, and it was very nice.
So proud.
Well, I did, like, little things here and there, like emails and whatnot.
Right, but emails, quotes, and jazzy, yeah, Faye productions.
Nice. I just had a Sunday of laying around watching football all day.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, sorry about it. So yeah, we are, as of recording this, we are like 10 days away from heading down to Walt Disney World to help celebrate the 50th anniversary, eat some good treats.
All the treats? Are you going to buy any of the fun things?
Oh, 100%.
Like what?
I definitely want that Epcot jacket. That's not 50th anniversary specific, but I want that.
Yeah, I guess it's not.
I did see on TikTok the other day, someone had like, it looked like one of those like Nike hats that I run in, but it was like 50th specific.
Yes, so it had like Rory the partners. Neverland?
No, I think it had the partner statue in gold.
No. The TikTok account.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look at his name.
Was the TikTok like talking about the price and then all of a sudden
I bought it.
Rory in Neverland.
Yeah. So yeah, it looked like one of those Nike hats. So if it is, I'll probably buy it.
It definitely looked like it.
Because I like those Nike hats. They're great for running.
They're so good for running.
Yeah. So I'll definitely get some merch. What about you? You going to get any merch?
Oh, Def. You know, I have to get some pins because
obviously pins.
We display our pins so well in this office.
We used to.
Jeez. Yes.
We used to do so much with our pins. We need to figure it out here in the new house.
We got
to
figure out this office.
Yeah, we do.
We need to post a picture and be like, can people give us tips?
It's too much of a mess to post a picture now.
Yeah, but great before and after. Anyway, So definitely some of that. They finally put Chippendale in some Wishables.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
that. I'm not excited about it because they're all blind bags for Chippendale. Yeah. Mickey and Minnie, I think, are open. So, like, you can see that you're buying Mickey or Minnie.
And they're in their iridescent 50th.
Yeah.
Costumes.
They also came out with, but maybe already sold out, I'm not entirely sure, they brought back some Vinylmations just for the 50th. And they're all in, like, the little iridescent costumes. But I think I saw something like they sold out in one day. So,
which makes sense.
Right. People,
which still I'm not sure why they...
If they're that big of a deal, why Disney got rid of it? Yeah. I don't know. Disney makes weird decisions sometimes.
Yeah, I guess.
So yeah, you know, that. And I haven't really seen any apparel that I'm like amazed by.
None of the 50th apparel seems to be jumping out at me.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Kyle Pilo posted a picture today on his story of like a Mickey... in like his 50th iridescent stuff, but I did.
It was like a shirt?
Yeah, a t-shirt. Oh. I just didn't really, you know, like you have like the Sailor Mickey shirt. It was kind of like in that vein, but I just didn't really care for it.
Gotcha. Yeah, we'll see. That clothes like that, I have to like see it in person.
You have to see it to believe it.
Yeah. And I already have so much Mickey stuff.
You do.
I'm Mickey head to toe right now.
Schnuff.
Well, not head or toe, but everything in between.
Head to toe. All
right, well, let's go ahead and just hop right into our news bits.
Okay.
I am Mrs. Nesbitt. Snap out of it, Buzz.
Well, it's a quiet news week. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it feels quiet at least.
At least after so many weeks of just like so many announcements, there hasn't been too much. But there's a few things we wanted to discuss.
Too much.
First up, Disney has announced some of the celebrity speakers. Are they called speakers? For Epcot's Candlelight.
Celebrity.
Narrators.
Narrators.
For Epcot's Candlelight Processional coming this winter for, you know, the Festival of the Holidays. Where so it's exciting that like the Candlelight Processional will be back in kind of its normal kind of get up. Anyways, some of the celebrities that they have announced include Cheetah Rivera. Do you know who that is, Brian?
I know the name.
She originated the role of Anita in West Side Story on Broadway.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Jodie Benson, obviously. More familiar with. Lisa Ling.
Ariel.
Yes, Jodie Benson, Ariel.
I knew it.
Lisa Ling, actress. Stephen Curtis Chapman. Blair Underwood, actor. Pat Sajak.
He's with us.
Pat Sajak is still with us.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's not our favorite, but good for him.
Okay.
Oh, all the Wheel of Fortune people are going to come for me.
Yeah.
Sorry about it. Anyway, so that's just a few of them. There's obviously still more.
Yeah, there's no way that Neil Patrick Harris won't be there.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like John Stamos does it a lot. Whoopi does it a lot. Mm. So, yeah.
Oh, the bigger names are usually closer to the holiday.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of, like, open dates. Yeah. So yeah, they'll still, specifically, like, middle of December. We don't know anything between December 13th through December 23rd. So that's like at least like 3 or 4 right there.
Right. Peak annual pass blackout date.
True. Oh, that reminds me. I don't know if we want to talk about this or not, but we are thinking
being talked about now, apparently.
Upgrading. We have a 4-day ticket for when we go in October or a 3-day ticket.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4.
So 4-day ticket. And we're thinking of upgrading it to an annual pass. I think we're going to do it.
I mean, yeah, my plan is unless we get to the counter and they're like, oh, no, this totally screws up all your existing reservations because we don't know how to do things properly. Not the cast member, Disney.
Oh, like our park pass reservations?
Yeah, and our like hotels and
I don't think we'll have issue, hopefully not, at least with our current, like the October park pass reservations. I think we might have
they can convert that.
We might have to rebook what we have in January, but that's because we're most likely going to have to cancel that booking anyways because it has tickets attached to it. So I don't know. We'll see. That's something to talk about later. We'll let you know if we end up doing it or not. But yeah, so that's the first little news nugget. News bit.
It's a news bit, yes, Jan.
I'm sorry. Second one is that Disney Cruise Line has announced some early 2023 itineraries. It's mostly kind of Bahamian, Caribbean, and then some like Mexican Riviera, Baja cruises. But yeah, so some exciting stuff. The Wish will pretty much only be doing 3 and 4 night Bahamian sailings from Port Canaveral.
The new dream.
That's right. The Fantasy is going to do 7-night Eastern and Western Caribbeans from Port Canaveral. The Dream is going to be docked in Miami and do Bahamian Western Caribbean. The Wonder is going to be sailing from San Diego and do some Baja cruises as well as Mexican Riviera. But there's, I don't know if I'd say strangely, but there's nothing been announced from the Wonder from like January, like mid to late January to like late March.
Yeah, I saw where like when the announcement was made, I saw some people say with a lot of obvious itinerary holes.
Yeah.
So maybe they're still figuring some stuff out.
Or, yeah, so we'll see. Maybe, yeah. I don't think the Wonder really needs to do a dry dock. They just had a mini one where they did the promenade lounge. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. And then lastly, the Magic will be sailing from Galveston, Texas first and then move over to New Orleans and doing Western Caribbean the whole time. So it'll be the Magic's first season in New Orleans. I think the Wonder was there the last couple of years.
I think so.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Booking is currently kind of going on for Castaway Club members, kind of depending on your level, and then will open up to the general public on October the 21st, so just a couple of days from now. So if you are interested in any of these early 2023 sailings, feel free to email me, daniel@themagicforless.com, and I can quote out some trips for you.
Quote out some trips.
And don't forget about our onboard credits that we offer.
Yes.
Money that you can spend on board.
Yes, or cover gratuities.
That's right. Or use for port adventures.
Or port adventurines. Yeah. Yes.
What's our final news bit?
Our last news bit is going to segue us into our topic today, which is about celebrity cruise lines. And it was just announced that the famous Captain Kate McHugh, very big on TikTok, in case you don't know, she was the first American woman to become captain of a major cruise ship.
Yeah, she's big time.
Yeah, and I still was the only one as well. Mm-hmm. So trailblazing the way for the ladies out there. Anyway, it was just announced that she will be leaving the Edge next spring and going and becoming the inaugural captain for the Beyond, which starts sailing, does its main voyage on April 27th of 2022.
Where is it sailing from at that point? I know it's all in Europe, right? I don't know. Right?
It said it would be sailing from Southampton, but I'm not sure where it's
Yeah, so going. I know they're in Europe all summer. I just tried to quote out some cruises for a friend, and all three of the big new ones, the Edge, the Apex, and the Beyond, are all going to be sailing in Europe this in upcoming summer.
Yeah. That was a decision.
Yeah, yeah. The Apex is coming over here soon. I just booked your parents on Apex sailing for end of January. So it's their, 40th wedding anniversary?
Yes, it will be.
So that's exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to hear about the Apex. It sounds very similar
I'm
to
sure
the
I'm sure mom's
going to
be like, it's basically same. Looks
yeah,
like
she
edge.
Won't. She won't really. I booked her in literally one stateroom over from where she was on the Edge. So it's going to be the same.
I think the art is different. So in case you don't know, Celebrity is huge. At least in these new ships, which we've only been on one, but the Edge is full of different art and art installations. Yeah. I think there's over 4,000 different pieces of art on the Edge. So I think all of that is different on the Apex, and the restaurant theming is kind of different. They still have Lumine and all that kind of stuff, but
yeah, which anyway. I don't think that will be. That noticeable either?
No, I don't think so. Because I'm sure
at least in the main dining rooms.
I'm sure those four main dining rooms are the exact same spot as they are on the Edge.
And there was theming. There was Tuscany, Cypress,
Normandy.
So they were all themed after different country, cities, whatever. But you could feel it a little bit, but it wasn't massive, theming wise, which was not, I enjoyed it. It wasn't super in your face.
No, they were all
you're
very
in Tuscany,
tasteful.
But yeah.
We thought that before going, we were oh my gosh, these things are going to be so in
almost
your face,
tacky.
Yeah.
But they weren't. Not
but
at
they
all.
Weren't. Once you got into the room, so the Apex, it's the same. It's Cosmopolitan, Normandy, Cypress, and Tuscan.
She'll feel right at home.
She'll feel right at home, won't she? Yeah.
But yeah, so we basically already started, but ends our news bits for the week. But
that ends the news bits.
Let's get into our trip report. Let's start right off the bat, kind of hop back a little bit from last week. So we did this cruise literally right after our Disney cruise vacation. So we got off the Disney Dream on September the 17th. We rented a car from Budget, and it was actually really smooth and really easy. So when we got off the Dream in Port Canaveral, there were some shuttle pickup stations where you would go if you had a Disney Cruise Line transfer, if you were going over to Walt Disney World and staying at a Disney hotel. So in that same area, they had a couple of pickup spots for the different rental cars. And so we just sat in the Budget one until the first guy came and picked us up.
Yeah, mainly our problem was we didn't research.
No.
So we did express walk off of the Disney ship, and then we didn't research what time the Budget office opened.
Well, really what time the shuttle opened.
Yeah, right, yeah. So we had,
it wasn't
we
too
sat
bad.
There 30 minutes.
If that, yeah.
Luckily he was early. Otherwise we would have been waiting a little bit longer.
I think we eventually figured out that he was supposed to arrive at 8:45, but he got there 8:30.
Yeah.
So we did not have to sit for very long. Yeah. We did go over. The shuttle took us over to the Royal Caribbean port at Port Canaveral, picked up a couple there, and then they took us all four to the Budget rental place in Port Canaveral, rented our car, drove down to Fort Lauderdale, got a rapid COVID test at a CVS. It was pretty simple, pretty easy.
Yeah.
We were early for that too, and she just went ahead and swabbed our noses.
Yeah, she didn't care. We had an appointment at noon, but we were an hour early, and so I texted, because they had texted me to be hey, can you confirm, blah, 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 blah. And so I texted and I said, hey, we're actually early. Can we go ahead and come up? And she said, come on.
Yeah. And so she met us outside. We literally just parked in a designated parking spot, got out, did everything outside, took our information, whatever. And then what'd they say? I think she told us it would be within 4 hours.
I think they said usually within 3 to 4 hours, and I feel like it was definitely a little bit longer.
It was closer to the 4 hours
or five.
I think we still got it before the time that she told us, but it was barely.
Yeah, it took a while. It was a little stressful.
Yeah, because we had to have that test to get on board the Celebrity the next day. Yeah. And we probably took the test around 11:30 or so, and we probably didn't get our results till after 4 p.m.
Yeah, I think it was before we went to dinner.
Yeah, I think you're right. So, well, we didn't go to dinner, but
what did we do?
We got the pizza. the hotel.
Right.
Either way, it was probably about 4 or 5 hours before we got our results. But yeah, it was fine. We both tested negative, so we were
obviously
ready to board the Celebrity Edge. We stayed at a hotel down there, La Gomar.
I don't know. But one thing I was going to say about the COVID test was we also had backup self-test kits because Celebrity allows you to buy this one specific test. And it's basically a telehealth administered self-test. So you buy it, and then when you're ready to take it, you call some number, I think, or go online, and then a person watches you do it. But you can do it from your house, your hotel room, whatever. And it's a rapid result within like 30 minutes, I think. So anyway, we had those as backups in the event that we did not get a COVID test. So Disney Cruise Line, I do not think allows that option. No, Celebrity
not,
does.
Not currently, at least. Yeah. I forgot to mention, we did this sailing with Brian's mom, grandma, and aunt. So we actually, we went over to the airport, dropped our rental car off at the airport, and kind of met them as they flew in. And then we had private transportation scheduled to take us to the hotel. The private transportation picked us up in the morning to take us to the cruise ship. I think we had them pick us up at noon. I think Brian's family's like port arrival time was like 11 to 11:30, or maybe it was late. No, it was a little bit later. I think it was like noon to, it was like 12 to 12:30, and ours was like 1 to 1:30. Yeah. So we were an hour behind them. They were in a suite, so they kind of had a little bit more kind of exclusive access, whatever, if you would. But there was literally no one.
Yeah, we got there pretty much smack dab in the middle, and no one at the port cared. They let us come right in.
And they had different, like, what do you call them, sconces, kind of set up with signs that had, like, the different, like, the next 3 hours worth of arrival times, essentially.
Sconces? Sconces,
not a sconce, like a, I don't know, you know, like a pole.
Oh, like a stanchion?
A stanchion, yes, thank you. I was close.
A sconce is a light.
I know what a sconce is, but I just... I knew there was a specific word that I was
just envisioning all these lights on the walls with signs. And I'm like, I do not know what you're talking
about. Anyways, there were these scansions. I can't even say it.
Stanchions
that had like 12 to 12:30, 12:30 to 1, 1 to 1:30. So for like the next three. And so I started to kind of make my way towards like the 1 to 1:30. Right, yeah. But then someone intercepted us anyways. And just basically we walked just straight in. I don't even remember which like. It didn't matter. But we had to show both our vaccination card as well as our negative test, which we both just had on our phone from the CVS like health care like website, essentially. Mm-hmm. We had to show both of those like, what'd you think, 4 times?
I think we only showed the negative test that one time.
No, I think we showed it twice. Board. I think we showed the negative test twice, but we had to show our vaccine card like 4 times.
Yeah.
And they cared about that more than they can. I mean, we obviously had to like scan like our boarding pass and like show our passports and do all that sort of stuff. But that was done like once. We showed our vaccine card like 4 times legitimately, which was nice. You know, they wanted to make sure that no one kind of slipped through the cracks. Security was super simple. Again, I felt like there was no one.
Yeah, there was boarding. About 30 port workers to each passenger. Yeah.
They were clearly training a lot of people day. So I think that. Wow, there was a lot of people, but yeah, so basically but from the time we got dropped off and the porters picked up our bags, I would say it was less than half an hour later and we were on the ship. Wouldn't you say?
I mean, they went through like, because they were suite class, so they went like a different way through like, supposed to be expedited, more private, and we still beat them.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, my grandmother's a little slow.
Yeah. So. Now I will say it was the smoothest, like, embarkation, like checking everything, like going through security, all that I've ever had. But one of the like maitre d's at one of the dining rooms one night told us there was like a fourth of normal capacity, so I'm not expecting that to always be the case, but even still, with having to show so much for like the health and safety protocols, like it was so smooth, it was so easy. I do not think they could have done a better job, and the terminal itself was very nice.
It's gorgeous.
I was impressed.
It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see like a lot of seating up there, but they could have maybe taken that out if they have seating.
That's true. I wasn't really paying attention to that because we didn't need to sit down.
No, we were just like rushing through. They have like a huge desk over to the right, but you had no need to go over there.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So then we got on board. We very quickly, like the first thing we did was went to go find our like muster station, safety station. It was at the Blue restaurant, which was on deck 5, which was the deck that we walked onto. Mm-hmm. So we just had to go kind of towards the aft.
Close, yeah. Uh-huh. Like hop, skip, and jump away.
We walked through this cool like mirror hallway with these gold trees.
Yeah, it's on the way to
Ed. Yeah.
Wait.
Hey. That was Eden. But it was also on the way to Blue. Blue's on the way to Eden. Anyways, I can't even remember what we did.
We walked up to this handy dandy little lady that was standing there.
There was two of them. The first one was asking for like our card, which was at our stateroom. And so we were like, we don't have our card. Like, we didn't know what she was talking about at first. But then I like pulled up on my phone, like on the Celebrity Cruise Line app. I like had like my like barcode. That was basically my boarding pass. Yeah, and the other girl was like,
just scanned that.
Yeah, the other girl was like, oh, that's all I need.
Yeah.
Scanned it. And that's like it.
That was it.
And they were like, if they're in a case of emergency, come back here.
Yeah.
And then I think they asked us like a question to basically like, were you listening? But it was like, but I think it was like, where do you go if there's a case when we were like here?
Yeah.
It was, I can't remember, but yeah. So that was it. That was like the safetiness. There was on the app itself, there was a video that we had to watch before we got on the ship. So we watched and did all that the day before. Super easy. It was similar to like the video that Disney Cruise Line showed. It was just, we just had to watch it before we got on board. So yeah, I'm all for this.
If this
expedites muster drill stations in the future for cruise lines, let's keep it up.
Keep it up.
So simple, so easy.
So simple, so easy.
But let's talk about just kind of the safety and health protocols just in general on board. What did you kind of see going on?
You had to be vaccinated and take a negative test.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. As soon as we basically went through the last bit of security and like started our way up the gangway, there was a crew member terminal
security person.
As soon as we like turned to make our way into the gangway, she said, you can take your mask off. She still had her mask on.
Yeah.
Everyone in the terminal had mask on. As soon as we essentially left the terminal and were on like ship property.
Ship prop.
We could take our mask off.
And crew members on the ship wore face masks.
Mostly.
Yes.
So on board, you did not have to wear your mask. Like I said, there was about a quarter of normal capacity. So it was somewhat easy to kind of distance just kind of naturally most places, but not everywhere.
Not at that craps table.
Not at the casino. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, I did see like crew members wiping, like sanitizing, like handrails and stuff fairly often. But other than that, it was just kind of normal, like upkeep.
Yeah, I mean, they were obviously when you went to like the buffet, quote unquote, they were standing there to make sure you wash your hands. But they've always done that.
And there was no self-service. But I don't think that buffet is really set up to be self-service anyways.
It's like the Norwegian inversion where
so they basically have like stations at the buffet. And so you just go up and tell them what you want at each station and they give you the plate.
Right.
So.
But because it was designed that way, it works.
Yeah.
Unlike on Disney where it does not because they're trying to do a modified experience.
Yeah. I'm going to say it didn't work on Disney. It was just, this is clearly.
It's far more cumbersome.
Yes. It's just, that's just not the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. So we'll see what they do on the Wish. But it was nice. It was kind of a nice kind of break from kind of current times, if you would. I hate kind of when people say like, oh, can't wait till things are in quotes back to normal. Like this is kind of just the new normal. We have to kind of learn to live like this. But it was just nice to know that we were in an environment that was essentially like the safest place we could be. Like every single person on that ship was vaccinated. Every single person had to present a negative test. So just like knowing that, and obviously we still know that breakthrough cases can happen. I'm not naive to that, but I also know that like a COVID outbreak is virtually impossible.
Yes.
In that environment.
Chesterfield.
So I just felt safe. I felt comfortable. It was we had so many masks with us from like Disney and everything. It just felt nice just being able to leave them in the stateroom and not have to take. I feel like the first day it was a little like awkward of like, oh, I forgot my mask.
Yes.
They're like, oh, wait, no, I don't need my mask.
Yeah. And they, in the stateroom, they had a mask like in a little paper
zip up. It was like a Ziploc
bag thing for each guest if you so chose to want to wear one. And there were
a few guests that were
wearing masks, but definitely.
Yeah,
definitely in the minority.
Yeah. And again, Celebrity is I would say, targeted towards an older audience than Disney. It's not like a family kind of cruise line. There were children.
I saw like three.
I saw like two, if that. There were like two teenagers who we did like a couple of trivias, and they were there. And that was
I think some of the kids, somebody said, was Captain Costas's children.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Wife and children were there.
Yeah. So there were like no like children.
Yeah. It was nice.
And I would assume that those teenagers were older than 12. Yeah. So I would have guessed. They were. Those two teenage girls were wearing masks like everywhere.
They were.
So I don't know if they were vaccinated or not, but I would think I'm positive they were older than 12. So I usually think people are younger than they actually are. So I'm convinced that they're older than 12.
Right.
Anyways. So yeah, I like, even though there wasn't like the same safety protocols as Disney had, I still felt super safe and like wouldn't like. Did not think twice about it, like not one bit. It just felt natural. It felt nice to be back.
Nice to be back.
So yeah. Yeah, well, let's talk about our stateroom a little bit. What were your kind of first impressions of our stateroom?
It's very modern.
Very modern.
So wood tones and white and like marble in the bathrooms. I don't know if it was a real marble, but marble-esque looking. Tiles and shower and whatnot, but it was very nice.
Yeah.
The bathroom was pretty big.
The bathroom was big.
I mean, Disney like takes that space and breaks it up into the two, which I'm sure is very nice for families.
Yeah.
Works out for us sometimes, but it's not like a huge benefit.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the bigger space.
Yeah. I want to talk about the bathroom real quick. I would 100% agree. I think I like this setup of a bathroom as like, just like a couple. I think this works out so much better. On the Disney, I agree completely. It makes total sense for families to have that split bathroom so that people can do stuff all at the same time. We just don't need that. Mm-hmm. Like I can be in the shower and you can be doing your hair in the celebrity space. Bathroom. Right. Like it just doesn't affect us in any way, shape or form. So I prefer just kind of having one bigger space than two spaces split up.
Yeah.
Because then also, you end up with two small spaces.
In general, the stateroom is larger
as
well. Mm-hmm. And we were not in a suite or anything. No. We were just in a standard, normal veranda, not a infinite veranda.
Yes. So we had what they call veranda.
Our veranda was bigger because we were on the back of the ship, but I think the room was the same size.
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, so our veranda, they call it a sunset veranda room. So it was like an extended veranda on the aft of the ship. I loved our veranda.
Obsessed.
We had two lounger chairs and then just two kind of regular chairs. Our stateroom host, Jason, was incredible. He took really good care of us just in general, but specifically like with the veranda, he brought us some extra towels to like lay down because he said sometimes some of like the soot from like the steam piles, steam engine or whatever will kind of blow back onto the aft. But there was like maybe like once or twice we noticed it, but nothing bad. Like, so
sometimes when I leaned against the handrail, I kind of noticed it, but.
Yeah, but not really ever on the chairs. But either way, we had the towel so we could flip them or whatever if we needed to. So I loved that veranda.
Yeah.
And I never felt like an excessive amount of motion being in the back of the ship.
Not at all.
There was one time, I think when we were docking, I can't remember where, maybe Honduras, where I could feel it like vibrating. But like it wasn't like excessive.
It's only if you wake up while it's happening. Mm-hmm, exactly. It doesn't wake you up.
Yeah, so I think that we will try to, as much as we can, get half-facing balconies from here on out.
Yes.
I loved it. I know. Absolutely loved it. I loved having the loungers. That was my one complaint. That's my one complaint with verandas is, like, I just can't sit upright for a long time and be comfortable. Mm. Like, having the lounge chairs, I could just lay back and just relax. I loved it.
Relaxy-taxi.
Can't say enough. The veranda setup is different, though, from most of the staterooms on the edge, because most of the edge staterooms have those infinite verandas where essentially there's like a door inside your stateroom and it just like opens up and the veranda is like just an extension of your stateroom.
It has like this big piece of glass that like lowers
it's like
and
a
raises.
Partition kind of. And so it's literally just like you have like walls, like actual walls to the side of your veranda. I've heard good things about those. I've
heard mixed reviews. Like, I don't people think, either like it or they don't.
Yeah, I don't think we would like it. I like feeling very open on the veranda.
Yes. And those infinite verandas are subject to, they can control them from the bridge. So if there's any reason that they need to close them, like if they're, if there's weather or if they're washing the ship or if you're on the side of the magic carpet, if it's traversing up or down, they will close all of the infinite verandas from the bridge. So that's kind of
But so we'll stick to the sunset veranda.
I'm assuming it's a cheaper stateroom for infinite verandas than like a standard veranda, but I'm not entirely sure.
Well, I think like all of the ones on the side of the ship are the infinite verandas.
Oh wow,
I think so. Don't quote me on that.
Don't quote. No quotes. Yeah, no quotes
there's
given.
There's a lot of staterooms, so
unless you email Daniel at themagicforless.com, and then quotes will be given.
Quotes will be given, and I will figure out what kind of veranda it is for you. Not our stateroom, but like we mentioned, Brian's family were all in suites.
They fancy.
They were called Sky Suites. There are several levels of suites, but they were in the Sky Suite. The rooms were very nice. They had a king bed.
But it could be separated.
Yeah, it could be separate. Ours could too. We had a queen size bed, but it could be separated into two twins. And I thought that would bother me because you could like feel the middle, but it didn't.
No.
Not one bit.
No.
We just stayed on our side.
Stay on your side. Get away from me.
But yeah, those suites were nice. The verandas were huge. Mm-hmm. And they opened. They were beside each other, so they opened them up. And so they had a really big veranda.
Yeah.
They had like a, was it like a jacuzzi like tub? It was a big tub.
It was a big tub in their bathroom.
Really, it was a huge bathroom. Huge tub. So,
and the bathroom is behind the bed. So you, there's like a partition glass thing that you can open and close. So
no, you, it, it you like there's a flip that you can switch, wasn't there?
And then no, turn it the actually mirror. Opened or closed.
Oh, gotcha.
And then, so in theory, you could be standing in your bathroom and see all the way like out and still like see out your door to the water. But you can close it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was a nice bathroom.
And with the suites, you get a lot of extra amenities that like come included. So you get better Wi-Fi, you get the higher drink package, you get specialty dining that's included.
And you get a butler.
And a butler. They had a butler.
A butler. That,
like, made like dining reservations for them. I don't know what else she did for them. Probably not much, but.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I know they had her stock up some sodas and stuff.
Yeah, you could be like, "Hey, we want some Diet Cokes," and they'll make sure that you have those. And
yeah, so we had a mini bar in our room, but anything we took out of it, we got charged for. But with them having like the drink package and the butler, if they took anything, she would just replenish it, and they didn't get charged for. Is it that even though we had the drink package, we would have gotten charged for anything we took out of the mini bar?
Which was nothing.
We didn't take anything. We never do. But yeah. So yeah, let's move on just to the ship in general. You mentioned the magic carpet. What were your thoughts about the magic carpet? Well, first explain the magic carpet to everybody.
Sure. If you've never seen a picture of one of the new ships from Celebrity, there's this large orange contraption on the port side of the ship, I believe. And it traverses from like deck 14 or 15.
It's on starboard.
I really don't think it is.
Yeah, it's on the right. I'm positive. Because we were in the aft and when we would walk up to the buffet was on the aft. If we walked out, we would be on the starboard side. And your family was all on the port side and they were not on the magic carpet side.
Okay. I just pulled up a picture. It is on the starboard side.
Oh, interesting.
As I suspected. And anyway, it goes up and down between the different levels depending on like what they're doing. So it's like a bar cafe thing like during the day. If you are at a port where they need to tender, that actually becomes the tender like dock. So they'll pull their tender boats up to that. And that's how you get on and off. I think it goes significantly quicker than other ships when they have to tender.
I would imagine, because it's just a big open space.
Yeah, so. I think that's kind of like their one of the main reasons they have it.
Yeah.
It does not go up and down with passengers on it. It's a complicated story. It's a bit ridiculous. But anyway.
It's not an elevator.
It's not an elevator, so no guests, passengers can be on it while it's going between decks. I never saw it move.
Nope.
In motion. But we went out there a couple times. The main gripe with it was that
it was never open.
It was it closed before you started like
sailing
away.
Yeah.
From a port day. So that was kind of a womp womp. Yeah. But also there like two of the times we were out there, it said it was going to close at 4:30, but
yeah,
it was still 5:30 and it was still
it
open.
Was
so
weird. Like, I feel like there were a lot of times it was not open, and there were a lot of times where it said that it would not be open, but it was.
Yeah.
Like, we just happened to walk by. Now, at dinner time, they do move it to deck 5.
And raw on 5.
And they it's like an extension of raw on 5, so you can dine on the edge, in quotes, is what they say.
But we don't want to dine at raw on 5 because that is not our... It's mainly a sushi raw bar, but there is some other stuff. But it's... I looked at the menu, and... It's not our jazz.
Either way, it just was never, like, I loved it. I loved the space. It was incredible. I really enjoyed sitting out there when we were in Roatan, Honduras, and just kind of, like, looking out the port. And we were on it, I think, once as we were, like, sailing in the water. But that was, like, at, like, 1 p.m. Like, I just never really wanted to go get a drink when it was open.
So that was
my biggest gripe with the Magic Carpet, because I was planning to be out there forever, because that's, like, my jam. Like, get a drink and just feel the wind, feel the breeze in your hair. But it was still cool. I want more clarification about when it is and is not open. And I want to know why it was not open as when I wanted it to be open.
Because it was down on Raw and 5.
I guess so.
So, yeah.
But yeah.
Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's different.
I did like it. It was very different.
Hanging over the edge.
Yep.
I'm on the edge of the glory. Edge. No, Daniel, the edge of the edge.
Oh, I see. And then just some other kind of spaces. Up top, there's a full pool deck, full pool. Like normal. And in the very back on the top deck, there's like a rooftop garden, which was cool. We walked through it one day. There's like a big screen, like TV up there. So they played movies and stuff outside. A lot of loungers, but just a very green space, which is not, I'm not used to that, at least on Disney. There's really no like greenery.
Green.
Like out like that. So that was cool. And then they had what they call the solarium, which is like an indoor kind of like pool deck. It was still on like the top deck. But if you didn't want to hang outside in the hot sun, you could go inside. And there was a pool, hot tub, lounge chairs, like floor to ceiling, like glass, like tall window. So you could just like see out on the ocean. We didn't hang out a ton because we're not big pool people.
Yeah, that's not us. But it was nice in there.
It was, yeah. It was
nice. I would have hung out in there because I hate the heat and it was temperature controlled.
And they had a little like grill up there in the solarium, so you could get like hot dogs, hamburgers, soft serve ice cream.
That's also where the juice bar is.
Yes.
For the health nuts out there.
Yeah, yeah. So that was nice. And then some indoor spaces. They had Eden, which we briefly talked about earlier. It was on the aft from, it spans like decks like 5 to 6, I think. It's a very green space. So there's a lot of like greenery in there. They had some live music. Normally, kind of pre-COVID, they have like performers, like stilt walkers and interpretive dancers and
things.
It's, I can't describe it. We did not experience it in person. I've only seen videos.
Yeah, right.
But we were kind of happy that it was, wasn't there.
Thank you.
But there's a bar there that I got some very delicious drinks at. But the delicious drinks I had were not on the menu.
Nope.
They were specialty made by the one bartender there.
I can't remember his name. He's from France.
It was Leave You. He made me this crystal cucumber was the name of it. And it was a cucumber gin drink that had like basil and mint. It was so good. One of my favorite drinks I've ever had, honestly.
Wow.
Then he made me another one that had like passion fruit and Prosecco. I can't remember. It was also good, but the cucumber one was better. But the drink that I actually got from the menu was weird. I didn't like it.
Yeah, for the most part, if this particular bartender, he did not like making the drinks on the menu. He's like, I'm more organic, and I just want to create something for you. But he just creates the same drinks over and over for everybody.
Yeah.
Is what you come to find out.
Well, and then I kept going back, like after dinner or before dinner, I would want another crystal cucumber, and he wasn't there. So I never got another one. I was sad.
Such is life. Anyway.
So that was the Eden. They did some trivias and like other activities there. It was just a nice, cool spot. I think right below it, there's like a breakfast, like brunch type dining room.
And you can also eat dinner in there. It's one of the specialty restaurants.
Gotcha. Yeah. They do have a casino on the edge.
A wee casino for the size of the ship.
Just about to say it was so small.
Which is fine, but it was surprising.
It was very surprising how small this casino was. Primarily because, so the first like night or two, we played the slots a little bit.
Stupid.
Brian lost all his money very fast. I won like $60 playing the slots and I immediately cashed out. It was the Wonder Woman slots. It kept going, Wonder Woman. But I cashed out there. And then I finally built up the nerve to play the craps table. I'd played years ago and had fun, but I couldn't remember how to play. So one day, it was like in the afternoon, it was like 2 or 3. They have what they call low stakes gambling, but there was no different than normal. So I don't know what was going on.
I think the buy-in is just...
No, it was the same.
Some of them it was lower.
Maybe some of the tables, but not the craps table.
Yeah, like anyways. A lot of the blackjacks and pokers were like $5 instead of 10 or 15 or 20. Yeah.
So anyways, there was this nice lady. We're going to call her Susan. We don't know her name, but
we don't know.
We think it was... It's not... Bless no, we you, know Susan. That we know it wasn't Susan, but no, that's because what we called
I called someone a Susan and she said, oh my God, what's her name? Actually, Susan. I said, no. And she said, oh, that's funny because I've met 2 Susans on the ship so far. Anyway.
So then we start calling her Susan. Right. Anyway, she was super helpful. She kept being like, I'm not the person to ask. But she knew a lot. And she also, I think she likes gambling because she was there every single night and she would primarily play the craps, but we would also see her over at the blackjack table.
Yeah.
Anyway, she helped kind of get me going a little bit. So I went a couple nights and I played and I ended up winning like 300, almost, no, it was over $200, but not quite $300 that I ended up overall winning. So the craps was fun for me. But I was going to say, like, the craps table was full.
It was full every night.
Every night. And there was only one.
One. There's 2 roulette tables, 1 craps table.
Yeah.
And several blackjacks and pokers.
But not that many.
No, but they had enough because a lot of those poor little people were standing there bored all night.
For this cruise, it was enough. If this was a full cruise, if it was at full capacity, I can't imagine being in that casino.
Yeah, there was one game down at the end that I can't remember what it was called. I never heard of it before, but it was never that table was never open.
I didn't see that.
The end of the line closest to like the cashier's desk.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So it was just odd to me. Maybe they, and probably rightfully so, most people on a cruise are going to just play the slots.
Yeah. And they had enough.
And they had plenty of slots machines.
And they had a couple electronic poker machines.
Uh-huh. But yeah, I was just surprised they didn't have more tables because on the Norwegian ship that we went on, the casino was huge.
Yeah. I mean, on the Bliss, which is Norwegian, they also had a smoking casino with pretty much everything in there, just like one of each.
It was like sectioned off.
One table or 2 tables of each. So it was like half the size. The smoking casino on the Bliss was like half the size of the Edge's full casino.
I would agree with that.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Which is fine, but we're not big casino people. Though I can, girl, I could see myself. It's a good thing we don't live near a casino because craps is fun. I had to give the last night I went and played, and I kept giving Brian like chips. I was like, "Take these so that I cannot bet them
go down." Still stay up.
Yeah, I wanted to say at least stay like up. So eventually, I got to the point where I was like, "Okay, I'm cashing out. This is the last night. I'm going to bed." Anyways, so that was fun. Shopping on board. I wasn't too impressed with the shopping. It was fine. It was fine. They had like a duty free section. So they had like liquors and tobacco. I rolled the tobacco.
Fragrances.
Jewelry. We both bought watches. They had some, I forgot about like the more expensive stuff. So they did have a couple of stores that were like fancy, like watches, handbags, jewelry, things like that. We did not buy super, super fancy watches.
No, but the one guy was trying, he was trying hard to, which is why I didn't want to go through there because I knew that he would like.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. But like we would walk around and he followed you everywhere. And I'm like, just let me look. And I wanted to be like, bro, this is a $10,000 watch. I'm not buying it. So stop wasting your time and just let me look.
But there was no one else in there.
There's no one else in there.
So yeah, so we bought like less than $200 watches instead of $10,000 watches. I like both of our watches a lot.
Yeah, and Citizen is the official timekeeper for Walt Disney World.
Oh, there you go. And then they also had like some celebrity cruise line and Edge specific merch. They had like shirts and stuff. I got like a 3/4 like zip up
thing. Yeah, it's really nice.
I really like it. I need to, it's like, I just hung it up in the closet. I need to actually wear it.
Now that's fall, y'all.
Perfect season. Yeah. Perfect season for that.
I did buy some alcohol.
You did, yeah.
Tell me on the Bliss, I did not buy any alcohol because I was like, this is stupid. But I bought a bottle of Woodford bourbon that was like a Celebrity Edge pick. So it has like Celebrity Edge on the label because it was like their pick barrel. And then I bought a bottle of Veuve Clicquot that was in this cool little like souvenir tin that was like celebrity. I think on the maiden voyage they gave all the guests one of those as like a gift. Now you can buy them. So
yeah,
I don't think there's anything really special about the bottle. I just really liked the tin.
Yeah.
But the bottle of Veuve was probably $10 or so cheaper than what we could buy it here on land, and it was tax and duty free. So
there you go.
Yeah, it's same with the Woodford. It was like $10 or so cheaper than. Actually, it was probably more. I think it was like $45 or something like that. But it was a liter instead of 0.75. So, and I think the liter bottles here on land are like $70 or something like that.
Is that what you drank last night?
I didn't drink that one. Bottle.
You just had Woodford.
Yeah.
I thought it would be weird that you opened up that one already.
Right.
So yeah, and then just finally just ship stuff in general. They had a lot of artwork. Brian mentioned this earlier, over like 4,000. But it was awesome, most of it. Whoever collected the art for the Edge did a great job.
In general, whoever their interior design team was, did a really good job.
There was this one on our hallway. There was just like clearly like this series of animals with like accessories.
Mostly shoes, but yeah, some bags and...
Well, our favorite was this little baby lamb.
A little lammy.
That had like just like a bandana scarf on or something. Yeah. It was so cute.
He was. I loved him.
I posted a picture on our Instagram, so yeah, you can go find it.
Like
Brian and the lamb. So yeah. Any other thoughts just about the ship itself?
Nope.
I thought it was great. It was beautiful. Very modern, very sleek. Well, let's talk about food. We talked about the buffet in quotes because it's not like a buffet. That was my least favorite food on the ship. I thought all of like the main dining rooms and specialty restaurants were like really, really good. The buffet for me was just kind of fine.
Which is so interesting because I enjoyed this buffet far more than Disney's buffet ever, Cabana's.
Yeah, I didn't.
I just think Cabana's is so mediocre.
I thought this buffet was so mediocre.
I found something almost every day that was like, oh, this is really good. And yeah. I've never, ever had that at Cabana's.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I think like I the, like Cabana's
the little
better.
Asian section on Cabana's is garbage every time.
Yeah.
Those noodles are so dry and have not a good flavor.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It's fine to have different opinions.
Personal choice.
Plus, this had so many more options.
Than
Cabana's does.
Currently, yes, it had so many more options. When
I think in a normal Cabana's too.
I don't know about that. Maybe it was fine. It was just my least favorite food on the cruise. But I think that speaks more so to how good our dinners were every night.
Mm-hmm.
So we did two specialty dining things.
Which are paid.
Yeah, you had to pay extra for those. So we did Le Petit Chef.
Yes, so look out for the specials. So when we first got on the ship, they're like, any specialty dining you book today is 50% off.
No, I think that was, you had to go book that night though.
Right. It was any specialty dining for tonight was 50% off. So we chose to do Le Petit Chef, which was the most expensive, I think. Cost per person.
Yeah.
It
was fun. It was like a 4-course meal, and it was like they had like a projection, like mapping type thing, like onto the table. Probably not mapping, but just in general.
Yeah, it's projection mapping still.
And you basically like follow this like chef.
Little petite chef.
And it goes from like each season. So it started in spring, then went to, so the spring was the appetizer. I got like a salad that had like some pulled, lamb, I think, and then some asparagus and a poached egg. It was really good. The rest of you guys got some soup. What was it?
It was a chilled pea soup.
Yeah, y'all didn't like
chilled
it.
Gross soup. I don't think I want cold soup ever, but anyway. Yeah. And I like peas, but
I really like the asparagus salad.
I couldn't stand
and
it.
And then we went to Summer, and we all got like this bow tie pasta that had corn, tomatoes, and lobster.
It was really good.
And it was delicious.
Crab, I think.
It was crab. The third course moved into fall, and we all got this like steak. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was really, really good. And then the fourth was winter, and we had a brownie.
Yeah.
And it was also delicious.
It was very good.
Marshmallow thing. And then we also ate at the Fine Cut steakhouse, which was their really steakhouse. We ate there in the last night. It was so good. It was one of the best steaks I've had, especially on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Just across the board, the breads were good. The sides were good. So that was fun.
Yeah. And then the main dining rooms, I thought were all very good.
They were all. Every single night, whenever I would order, I would be like a little like hesitant at first. Cause like I tried to like branch out a little bit more and get more seafood or try stuff and every night I was kind of worried before my food got there. And every single night I was impressed.
Yeah. So the four main dining rooms that they have dining room specific entrees, and appetizers and everything. And then there's a menu that is the same at all four restaurants. That is on the menu for the night.
It's specific to that night.
Yes.
And then they have a menu that's consistent every single night of your cruise. That's like basics, like a grilled chicken, grilled salmon, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yes. So I think most people tried to order off of like the restaurant specific menu, but sometimes there were just not.
I was probably about half and half, either like between the restaurant specific or like the nightly. Never ordered from like the lighter fare.
No, I don't think menu. I did either. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was seriously, it was also good. I wasn't always a fan of dessert in the main dining room, specifically the apple pie and the apple like crumble.
It's never good on a cruise ship.
The cheesecake was good.
Cheesecake was really good. Yeah. And like, I would be like, cause they really, you could get cheesecake with like all these different sauces. And that was so a little complicated. I was like, is there any way to get those fresh strawberries? And sure enough, they did it for me.
Yeah, they did.
So
it was good.
Just ask.
On both cruises, both the Disney cruise and the Celebrity cruise, I was so, so impressed with the quality of the food across the board, like in the main dining room specifically. I thought it was all so good. So good.
Tasty.
We didn't do any like room service or anything. They did have a cafe, like coffee bar on Deck 5, I think it was. And they had some pastries. They were fine.
Every once in a while we would get one of the pastries, but
they were fine. Nothing to write home about.
Nothing to write home about. Yeah. I do need to, we also ate at Lumine, which is the restaurant. So they have two, or I don't know. They have a couple restaurants that are specific to like a group of passengers. So Lumine is for the Sky class and Suite class. Blue is for the Aqua class, which is supposed to be like the health conscious people. Anyway, we ate at my family ate at Lumine like every breakfast, but me and Daniel aren't big breakfast people. So every morning the servers were like, hey, where's, the other two in your party? Bring them up and have dinner. So it was free for them, but like $30 or something for us. I'm not entirely sure.
Know we had to pay.
Yeah, there was a cost. My mom did it. Yeah. But anyway, not that expensive. And so we finally had dinner up there the last night.
Second to last night.
And it was really good. I had one of the best cocktails I've ever had up there. And you even liked it. You got one, didn't you?
Oh, I did. Yeah, that whiskey peach whatever.
It was so good.
Was it with Woodford?
I think it was, and it had peach.
Yeah, it tasted like a peach iced tea.
Yeah, it was really good. Anyway, so that was dining. Now on to drinking. They have the main thing was the martini bar in the lobby atrium.
Loved the martini bar.
And there were, I don't know, 20, 30 different martinis.
At least
maybe
30.
Daniel tried to work his way through the menu as much as possible.
I got through most of the ones that I want. I probably tried about 15 different martinis. Yeah,
I mainly stuck with, so they had one of the specialty martinis they had was a lavender lemon drop. I don't really like the taste of lavender because it's too like soapy to me. My aunt was obsessed with the lavender lemon drop. She got that every night.
Were boring. Y'all just kept getting the same
thing. Yeah, I did, pretty much. I just did a normal lemon drop every night. It was delicious every night. I did get some of the like dessert martinis. I think I tried two of them.
You tried the Banana Foster.
I tried the snow one, I think.
Yeah. I had the rum chata one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was too cinnamon and lemony to me.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, my favorite was they had a cucumber mint one, I think. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
I really liked most of the ones that I tried. There was one that the guy warned me about how strong it was.
It was.
And I was like, oh, it won't be that bad. It tasted like I was drinking rubbing alcohol.
Yes.
It was so strong. I think I took like three sips of it and then I left it at the dinner table. And she was like, are you done with this? I said, yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there were the same servers in there every night. So if you were like sitting in the like lounge around it and not at the bar. So they got to know us by the end of the cruise and kind of knew what we wanted.
They knew our names.
Yeah, they knew our names.
Again, so, smaller crowd, but still.
But still, crew was excellent.
That was one. So they did live music there a lot, which was really nice. So we just really, that was kind of our go-to before dinner.
Pre-dinner,
we would just like, it was just assumed we would all meet there before we went to dinner. I will say, though, again, like it was fairly packed each night. So I truly wonder what they do on a full full ship. Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it just naturally disperses more, but
I don't know. People go to eat and who knows. But we had the drink package. We did pay to upgrade. So everyone gets basic kind of drinks, like up to like, I think like $9 or something like that. And like low level, like liquors and whatnot. So we just went ahead and paid to upgrade just so that we wouldn't have to like think about it much. And we basically got all cocktails and everything up to $15.
Which is almost everything.
Which is almost everything except for at Eden.
Yeah.
At Eden, there were only like two or three that were 15.
Like 18 or 20 or 24.
So, and that included sodas. So whenever we went to the buffet, we would just go up and we would get a can of soda, which was nice. It was nice and fresh.
And include bottled water, which was aluminum canned bottles.
Yeah. But it was fine.
But it's fine. I didn't love it, but it's fine. It's better than plastic.
It honestly, it didn't get cold enough for me.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But anyways, so I think I would recommend the drink pack, like upgrading to like the premium package. It was just easier, especially when we were at dinner, because they would just bring you whatever you wanted, like wine, cocktails, whatever. And so it was just so easy just to be like, is everyone on the premium package? We're like, yep, we sure are. And they would just like take care of it.
One thing of note that I'm still very confused about, when we were on the Bliss, the Norwegian Bliss, we also had a drink package. Anytime we were in port, they charged us tax on the drink, even though we had a drink package. I was expecting that on the Celebrity. There was never a tax charged, whether we were in port or not. Well, obviously not in port, but I don't understand what law is going on here. And
maybe it's because we were in Alaska on the Bliss in Seattle, so we were like always in America. Like,
but even when we were docked in Miami, I feel like we got drinks in Fort Lauderdale. And I just don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
True.
Someone can explain that to me.
Yeah.
But that was one thing to note, that we did not ever have any additional charges pop up, which was nice.
Nothing. It was weird at first. We weren't sure if we were expected to like tip people like with cash, essentially, because you're not signing for anything when like they. At the beginning of the cruise, I kept taking our card. And then towards the end, it was like they just like remembered us. Mm. I think they remembered our names or our room number or something. So they didn't need to take our cards. But it was just so weird because there were a couple times where we felt like they were expecting a tip. But then it didn't seem like that.
Yeah, they kind of hovered a little bit. But
we ended up tipping a little bit at the end to a couple of the guys.
Yeah.
Like at the very last night. And Brian's aunt would tip here and there throughout the week. So.
Yeah, she was like, basically, I'll tip you. You treat me good. Yeah, and they did.
And they did.
a little goes a long way, I think, with them.
So it was just one thing I wasn't even really like thinking about ahead of time.
Yeah.
That I wish, like, I don't know. Just because on Disney, it's just like you pay for each drink. So if you want to leave gratuity, you do it right there in the moment.
Yeah.
So anyways. Sorry, we're running a little long, so let's move to entertainment.
We already talked about eating a little bit anyway.
Yeah, let's move to entertainment real quick. We did a whole bunch of trivia. I liked how they did most of their trivia. We did like one that was like I don't want to say virtual, but it was basically like on your phone. They just like played everything up on the big screen. And so you would just like hit the button and it was kind of like fastest finger. So like the faster you answered, like the more points you got. And they did three of them total. Guess who won all three?
You did. There was supposed to be another, but
the technology wasn't working.
Those were a lot of fun.
They were. I liked those a lot. They did some music trivias with DJ Dragon from Germany.
DJ Dragon.
Music trivias were a lot of fun. We finally ended up winning one. There were these two guys, Jim and Scott, I think their names were. They kept winning all the music and general knowledge trivia, but we finally won one of the music. But they were all like different. So it was like the one was like he played covers of songs, but like you just had to listen to the lyrics to figure it out because it wasn't like popular covers. And like the tunes would just be like totally different. But anyways, that was fun. The shows, what'd you think of the shows, Brian?
I liked them.
They were fine. They weren't my jam.
I liked them.
But that's not my jam.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess they're kind of standard cruise show. So they just like a mashup of songs and perform them and try to put a storyline together. And
loose storyline.
The singing was incredible. I was really impressed with the singers.
Yeah.
The dancers, for the most part, were fine. We're pretty good. a few of them weren't great, but they had some like acrobatic type stuff like involved in the show, so that was good. And then separate from like the celebrity like kind of entertainment itself, they had two onboard acts. So there was a singer, Chastity Lockhart, I think her name was, mm-hmm. who did like a whole like Aretha Franklin like tribute show. She was really good.
She was really good. I went into that being like, oh, I'm gonna know so much of this. I knew like one song.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I knew like everything.
I apparently don't know much Aretha Franklin.
Apparently not. And then there was like a magician comedian guy who was pretty funny. Really funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was really funny. And they had a tiny little dog.
Yeah, a little Yorkie.
Did a trick. And, that dog was so cute.
Yeah.
So those were both really good. And those were all kind of the main theater. I mentioned they did some live music. They had some other random stuff. We did like this like wooden puzzle challenge.
We were the only ones there.
We were the only ones there. We did a Connect Four tournament.
We were the only ones there.
Yeah, I won. They had like a Sudoku challenge that I was mad about because they gave us a really hard Sudoku challenge. And he was like, you have 5 minutes.
10 minutes. It was a 10-minute Sudoku challenge.
Yeah, and no one finished it because it was super hard. I eventually got there, but I was mad. We did like dot painting with Crystal from Oklahoma.
Did not care for that?
No, that wasn't our jam. We don't have the patience for that. Nope. It was relaxing at first, and then I was like, okay, this is too much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so
lots of different options.
I was very, very worried because we were fairly bored on our Norwegian cruise.
Very like, bored on
the activities just weren't really for us.
No, most of it was like come to our art auction or lecture series.
Or Deal or No Deal.
Which
or,
they had on Celebrity, but they had plenty of actual activities to do as well.
Yeah, so, and again, this is all with COVID in mind. They had essentially three cruise staff people, essentially.
They were booked busy.
And they were doing it.
They were working hard.
They were really great. They were a lot of fun. So shouts out to them. But yeah, so that was pretty much it. Any kind of final thoughts? I know we kind of ramped up the speed of our talking here at the end, but what were your overall thoughts about Celebrity Cruise Line?
Overall thoughts was I went in open-minded, but a touch skeptical because I was afraid I was going to be bored because I was very bored on the Bliss and also felt like, with Norwegian, there's a bunch of, like, you got to pay to do this once you're on the ship.
There was like none of that.
There was none of that, really. And I just had a blast. I loved it.
Yeah.
Everyone always talks about, like, Disney's service is so top-notch and their food is so top-notch in the industry. And the service on Celebrity was just as good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the food was great.
And it's definitely a different style of cruising.
Show.
And I mean, we still love Disney Cruise Line. And we will still, I think, be like our primary one because we love the Disney-ness of it.
Right.
But this, like, we're going to cruise Celebrity.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it's
significantly cheaper.
Yeah.
So it's a good, like, hey, we just want to go on a cruise and do something and...
And I do think
there's more ships. Well, I think I would only want to go on their new ships. But anyway.
Yeah, I was just about to say we do have to keep in mind that this was one of their newest ships, which is more modern, more up to date.
They are revitalizing all their older ships, but and I think they look significantly better after they revitalize them. But anyway,
so keep that in mind. Like we mentioned, there was virtually no children. So again, as a couple of childless millennials, that was. I mean, I don't mind the children on the Disney Cruise Line, but it was nice to kind of have a cruise where, like, I think just every now and then, if we just want to do, like, just be around adults, we'll do Celebrity again.
Or Virgin.
We will
make that determination in December after Virgin.
Yes, absolutely. We didn't mention everyone got free Wi-Fi. It was not, like, great, great Wi-Fi, but it was good enough to, like, check emails
and stuff.
And so it was perfect for me. Like, I could still work a little bit. Essentially, I work with, like, one other person. So she was having to do everything, like, while I was gone at first on the Disney. So at least when we got on Celebrity, I was able to take back over a lot of, like, the emails and, like, online communication.
Yeah.
So pretty much every day before lunch, I would work for, like, 45 minutes to an hour. I would shut my computer down, go to lunch, and I would not touch anything for the rest of the day work-wise. So that was really nice just to have, like, a little bit. So, yeah. So, yeah, my overall thoughts was I loved it. Absolutely loved it. My expectations were, like, I think similar to Brian's, thinking I would have a good time, but skeptical, and it far, 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 far exceeded my expectations. So, yeah.
Yes.
Big fans of the Celebrity Cruise Line now.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's go into trivia.
You first.
Okay. So, Brian, who is the godmother of the Celebrity Edge? I will give you a hint.
Okay, great.
We saw this person on the ship. Not physically, but like a picture.
Huh.
Of this person.
I don't remember seeing a picture of anybody. Queen Latifah.
No, Malala.
Oh, dude, there was a lot of Malala on there.
There was. Mm-hmm. As soon as I saw it, as I was Googling, I was like, oh, makes sense.
Yeah, it's good for her.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
She said, they just wanted to kind of increase, you know, efforts and awareness of education for girls and empowering women. A lot of things that I was reading about Celebrity Edge is that they, in terms of gender equality, they are like leading the way in gender equality in the cruise line industry.
Wow.
And that over 30% of their crew are women, which far outpaces other cruise lines by like, it's like more, it's like almost 50% higher than most other cruise ships.
That's crazy. So Disney's just like, but look, we can have Captain Minnie.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we always say, let the women do the work.
Let the women. We have to quantify that with like,
you know, people know what I mean.
I don't know. I just want to make sure they do know what you mean.
Oh my gosh, people know what I mean.
Okay, great. My question for you, Mr. Daniel.
Okay.
Is
you didn't hit your womp womp button.
Whatever. That was enough. Do you know how many ships there are in the Celebrity fleet?
Girl. Can I be within like 5?
You can be within 3.
I'm going to say 28. No, I'm going to go down a little bit. I'm going to say 17.
Oh, wow. Very close. 15.
Oh, I was within 3.
Yeah.
Okay. At first, I was going to say 21. So I'm
15 includes the Beyond, which is coming next spring. And then 3 of those ships are basically explorer ships that are only in the Galapagos Islands.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so very, very small.
I did hear about that at some point when we were on the edge. Someone said something about that.
Yeah, I think their newest of the explorer ships is the Flora, which is the first ship designed specifically to navigate around the Galapagos and is the most like eco-conscious ship
that's cool.
in the world.
We should check that out.
It has, I think it was like 80 people or something. Like it's very small.
Wait, I don't think that will be like my favorite way of cruising, but I do want to do something like that. I want to do something like that. I want to do like a smaller river cruise in Europe too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like Viking or somebody.
Yeah.
Just to experience it.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you go.
That's it.
I
feel like I say this every time, but sorry we went a little long here. But have so many things to talk about. We have so many things to talk about. So thanks, as always, if you made it to the end of the episode.
Hopefully you did.
Go follow us on Instagram at RedNoseBlackNose. You can also follow us at Adventures Away Podcast. I don't post too much there.
Adventures Away Podcast.
And like I mentioned earlier, if you need help planning your next cruise vacation or Disney World, Universal Studios, whatever it may be, please email me, daniel@themagicforless.com. I can help plan your next trip. My services are completely free, and we have a lot of great incentives for booking with us. So until next time.
Until next time, everybody.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Brian. And this is
Adventures Away
Podcast.